Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Joseph Ola. Today's episode, as you might have noticed, Lanu is not with me, but she's going to join me shortly, virtually. And that's because the question we're responding to today, actually we've got a few questions from different people about managing long distance relationship. And rather than having to just talk about it together all over again, in 2019, before my 30th birthday, I did a series of YouTube videos in which I was trying to just to reflect on my 20s. And I tagged that series, What My 20s Taught Me. There were about 3 episodes in that series where I actually had to bring my wife on board and we discussed together, because the things I was talking about in those episodes relate to her one way or the other. One was on friendships, the other was on this managing long distance relationship, and the last one was on marriage, sex, and all of that, early journey into marriage, if you will. And so today's episode of Not Alone Today podcast will be responding collectively to those very many questions on managing long distance relationship by having both of us just discuss what that looked like in our own context. Specifically, this was 2014. Anu came to the UK in 2013, October. I came to the UK in 2015, August. And so between that long period of time, of course, we didn't see each other physically, except for Skype videos and WhatsApp calls and all of this kind of stuff. So that's what today's episode would be about. We hope you'll be blessed. I'll be back at the end of the clip. Hi guys, welcome to the 6th of What My 20s Taught Me. And today I'm with my babe. She calls me babe. Babe, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Babe.
She shouts my name, Babe, so much so that my son now calls me Babe once in a while. Today we're dwelling on 2014, and we're doing this together because that's one year that throughout the year, from January 1 to December 31, we never got to see each other face to face physically. And that's the only year that has ever happened. So we thought, let's unpack what that looked like for both of us from our own side of things and then my own side of things, and hopefully that can help someone that is going through or will go through some phase of some long distance relationship at some point. So over to Babe.
okay.
Yep.
I'll give 3 points on how I got through a long distance relationship, especially that year.
Okay.
When we're not together. First, I was committed in church. I was when I joined the church in November 2013. I just arrived in the UK. I think I arrived October 2013,
yeah.
And the next month I was already a media team member, helping pack up. And the funniest thing was, it was even a Ghanaian church. So basically,
yeah.
I didn't understand people speaking their language, but I didn't pay no mind because I was already I understood the importance of service.
Mm-hmm.
Pouring yourself into being part of the church rather than sitting down to be fed or led. So that helped me. I had aunties, I had like Auntie Albie and Auntie Bernice. They were like my
I've known those aunties long before I came to the UK without ever seeing them.
Like, talk about them.
Those are the only names I hear.
They were really good for me, honestly.
Absolutely.
Because then Auntie Bernice was gonna have twins, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I helped her with the kids. It was good for me. It was as though I was home. But not really home.
Yeah.
And church was really good too. It kept my time. It kept, like, I met new people outside of uni. I made friendship with lots of people. And the second one is work. Since I got to uni, man, I worked. And the work was fulfilling in a way.
Sure.
It wasn't a work where you're tired, because I got jobs at uni. So I was working at the international office where we call international students, say, for example, from Nigeria or other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Call them on how to come to uni. So it was something easy to do. You're getting paid for them. Getting paid well done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. And I had volunteering. I had different roles at uni. Student mentoring.
Debate mates.
Different things. Then there was law. Studying law, it's not as... It's not hard, but you have lots to read, and it's very complex.
Mm-hmm.
So mixing those 3 things together, kept my focus away from my partner, my darling babe, that I couldn't see.
Kept your focus away. I became irrelevant. Is that what you're saying?
No, it wasn't that it wasn't irrelevant. Okay. It was relevant, but in the time that I was supposed to be missing him, I was fulfilling my own destiny. I was becoming more of a woman that I want to be.
That's right.
I was seeing more of life. And where this is leading to is, I've noticed in relationship, we expect lots of things from our partners. We expect them to call us at certain hours. So I expected lots of things from him. At the start of a relationship, I did expect, like when I text caller and he doesn't text me the next minute, my head has flown off. And when he now calls me, I'll start sounding angry on the phone. And he'll be like, what have I done? But how do I explain to him that? Because he didn't respond to my text 1 minute ago, that's why I'm angry. So those things, but over time, before I left Nigeria, I got to see that those expectations are just what they are. It's only a man. I can't place him as a god in my life. I just want, or a magician.
I don't
want
to be a god.
At a snap of my finger. He does what I want. No, that's slavery. That's a master to slave relationship. But because I've learned to see that he's my partner, I can miss him, but I don't have to dwell too much on the missing. So those things took my attention away from the fact that he's not present there. Then we had help. I had like WhatsApp. When I call him, I doesn't pick because him too was busy with his boss. When I call him and doesn't pick, I'll send WhatsApp voice notes. And or do videos and things like that. Just put my anxiety as I'm feeling right there and then to him. If he does respond, if he doesn't, not that I wouldn't feel it that he doesn't respond, but I won't draw too much on this. So I think my main lesson to you out there is long distance or not long distance is that don't put so much expectation on your partner. They're only human after all. Don't put the blame
on
them.
I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me.
We shouldn't be singing that song. It's not so holy. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's just a man. I'm just a woman. Yeah, we can read all the Proverbs 31 virtuousness and things. Okay. We can only do as much as you do. So,
okay.
Not too much expectations and keep yourself busy. Whatever your hands find to do it with all your might.
Absolutely.
If he's tailoring, if he's hairdressing, even if you don't have a job or a paying job, if he's hairdressing, do it before you get home 7 p.m. You're tired and exhausted. You won't even remember babe because you're hungry. By the time you get to talk, you can refresh your relationship and everything goes well together.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. For me, I didn't even think I was in a long-distance relationship. Or for me, I felt like nothing has changed. Even when she was in Nigeria, we were not together. The relationship started in Gombe, February 10, 2012. My personal parade was 6 days after our relationship started, whereas she still had to stay in that Gombe state for some 3 more months or 4 more months or thereabout. So I left Gombe, she was still there, we were not together. And when she came from Gombe, she didn't come to stay with me in Lagos. She went to her own state in Akure, in Ondo State. I was in Lagos. We're not seeing each other. So the whole of 2012, I think the only time I got to see you after I left Gombe was when you came to visit me because I was sick in Ife. That was the only time again that we saw. Then in 2013, I think you came to Lagos twice.
Before traveling.
That was the only time I got to see her. So to me, nothing has changed. So when she's talking about expectation and all that, I could even remember there was a particular day that I was gisting with some older guys in church. I was also busy with church, of course, pastoring and all that. So I was talking with one particular man and I was like, I thank God for the kind of lady that God gave me. She doesn't disturb me. She doesn't expect anything from me. She, even if I don't call in 2 days, she will be fine. The man said, she might be acting like she's fine. You better keep the phone and call her. So, I felt like, you don't understand. And sincerely, that was what I felt because all these things that she's explaining now, I didn't get to really know how she was feeling with my seeming distance. until I came to the UK, and I still continued doing like that. And then I hear him one time. That's a story for another day. But basically, I get what you're saying. And I think that's the communication bit. It shouldn't just be about, I talk, you talk. That's not communication. Communication should be, I really get to know what you're trying to say. What is at the bottom of what you're saying with your mouth or typing with your words, the heart behind the words. I can feel your pain, your emotion, and you can be honest and sincere with me, and I can be the same with you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I did mean that she pointed that out early enough while I was still doing all that and thinking everything is fine. I would have taken dressing, and maybe she would have been calling me babe long time ago. But now that I'm a good boy, she calls me babe. Anyways, so for me as well, being busy, I was busy. The man of God that I was working with in Lagos, Pastor Lesami, is a very busy man. So I had so many things to do as well. And the church itself is a busy church. So I was fully plugged into that. And then I look forward to our video messages on Sunday. Sunday is crazy busy for me. I'm up from like 4:30, 5 a.m. I'm not back to kind of unwind or pull off my suit sometimes until 10, 10:30, 11 in the night. That's how busy Sundays are for us. There's always one thing or the other going on, even after the service is over. So most times when I'm about to sleep on Sunday night, I know that she would have sent a message. She made it a habit, and I look forward to that. The Skype videos, when she dresses up for church, she sends me a video, and I look forward to those videos. They bless my heart.
Not as I'm dressing up. After. When I'm dressed. Just so we're clear. Okay.
Of course, we know your Proverbs 31. Of course, when she's dressed up, like, see what I'm wearing to church, and what if there's anything happening in church specifically, she talks about that and all that. So I respond to those videos after I see them. So I think Skype, WhatsApp, phone calls, we just leveraged on every opportunity to keep the conversation going. Facebook, Messenger, emails, anything to just keep the word going between the two of us. And for me, that was okay. Even when I wasn't doing enough, I thought I was even doing too much. But yeah, that's so the communication and the busyness, especially. Those two were really germane to me. Just having healthy friendships actually helps you navigate all of these things. They fill the void, if there is a void. There is a void, of course, no doubt. When I came to the UK and I got to see her again, that was when I actually knew that there is something that has been wrong with me all the while.
Wrong with you?
Yeah, I was incomplete all the while. I felt complete when I saw her in the airport waiting for me wearing a black.
And, can you believe that? While I was waiting for him at the airport, my heartbeat was doing dum 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 dum. For the first time in my life, I'm scared of a guy. I usually intimidate guys, but all of a sudden, this church brother has got to my head all too. I was so scared. I would walk to. I'm like, okay, when it comes up, what am I going to say? It was a very nervous meeting, but it was good. It's actually really the person he wanted to be texting and everything. It was really good.
So yeah, long distance relationship, I believe, is doable. We believe it's doable. We're living testimony to that. If you keep the communication line open and you keep yourself busy, you are. When we say busy, don't be a busybody, but you're busy fulfilling your purpose. You are actually you before someone came along the line, and him coming doesn't change you from being you. So you keep living your life. She keeps living her life, as the case may be.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
You know, I think the business works for mostly the ladies because we always seek things from you guys. But how about, why do you guys get so busy that you can't even text? And sometimes, it's not the kind of business that you think is legit. It could be one sister that's asking for counseling. You know about this, right?
So that's not legit?
No, it's not.
Is that a part of what you're called to do?
Still, it's a sister. So you're sitting there in your room or in the lecture room thinking, okay, instead of like, I want at least by 4, they should be finished. But 7 p.m., he hasn't called you, and you're thinking, okay, benefit of a doubt, but he should call me, though. But I'm just saying now, yeah, sometimes we ladies honestly can't believe that you're that busy that you can't pick up the phone. You say, hi, babe, I'm busy, I'm sit there or something, I'll call you back. I think it's the neglect part, the carelessness. When you think that the ladies understand so much.
Yeah.
I think that's the point where it kind of ticks us off. Yes, we understand, we are virtuous women, but we still need that human
I get that. I mean, if you're married and you don't understand that, you don't hear them. But where I'm going is another basic fundamental understanding that we should also throw in the mix is that we are wired differently, gender-wise. Our brain don't work the same way. For a man, he thinks, this is what I'm doing now, and this is what I'm doing. Of course, over time, you learn to be multitasking. Just yesterday, I was helping a friend, and we're working together on a project, designing a website. And I was cooking Indomie in the kitchen on two different occasions. The first Indomie got burnt. I had to discard it, cook a second one. It still got burnt because of the other thing that we're doing. And I was telling myself, am I so bad at being multitasking? That is a masculine brain. A woman can be thinking of 5-7 things at the same time and processing that together. We learn that as we grow, absolutely. And you should, as a guy, if you want to live a peaceful marital life. I'm just saying, while you are giving us the benefit of the doubt, also understand that actually we are born with a brain deficiency as men. It's part of our pride. We know it. And part of that deficiency is once we are, this is what is in front of me, this is what I'm thinking about, this is what I want to work on, and I'm doing that. Of course, we know at the back of our head or deep down inside our hearts that you are residing there. So as far as we know you are there is enough.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we need to do better and try and be intentional. That's actually the point of this. Okay.
How were you able to, say, overcome temptation? Like, you know, you were with lots of, not with, you were around lots of ladies when you were working with your boss.
Yeah.
So if you kind of don't look at them and see them as them.
For me, and I'm going to throw the same question back at you because I know it's both ways. But for me, right from day one when the relationship started, my escape route, in a manner of speaking, is to be aggressively intentional about publicly declaring to the whole world, this is the person I love. Even though the person I'm doing all that for doesn't necessarily appreciate it. You see how these things work, eh? So she doesn't want to be out there. She doesn't want anybody to know her business. But here I am. I'm actually not necessarily doing that for her.
See?
In a sense, of course I'm doing it for you. But since you don't appreciate it, I assume I'm not doing it for you. But in a sense, I'm doing it for me, for my own sanity. So there's nobody that really knows me. There's a friend with me on Facebook that doesn't even, that will say he doesn't know there's one Elio somewhere. Even if they have never, all my church members, long before she ever came to pay us a visit, knew that there was one beautiful sister Anu somewhere. Some of them were already designing graphics, doing what wedding IV could look like. They were busy into Anu's world without ever meeting her. So there's no way I could be with all those ladies and still be thinking something else when even those ladies know beyond a shadow of doubt that there is one sister somewhere. That's how it works.
That's
for
me. Good. I like how you said be intentional and aggressive, talking about
aggressively.
I think that's good.
Write poem, put it on Facebook, snap picture, put it on Facebook, just let everybody know you are crazy and mad. I mean, that's what worked for me. Not everybody would. That might not work for everybody.
Or even when you with the girl, when you're around them, talking about your partner also helps. Yeah, that's good. I wasn't like that. I wasn't aggressive or intentional. But there's just something aloof about me with guys that I just know that there's, I think one time, one guy in church or something asked me, am I in a relationship? And I said, hey, I knew it. He said, no girl could behave the way I behave. Like, I was too carefree and at the same time, aloof. I don't know what that word is, aloof.
It's wisdom.
Yeah. So I wasn't publicizing him because I'm not that spotlight person. But there's this thing about me, like, you know, when you meet a joyful person, they just... joyful.
Innocently joyful.
You,
no strings
you
attached
thinking,
to joy.
What's making her smile?
Mm.
But there's no reason for it. It's just that when you have that confidence in who you're partnering with, who you're in a relationship with, the whole world gets to know. So whoever is approaching you, it's kind of approaching tentatively, like, okay, she says no, I know I'll go.
Mm.
Yeah, so you're not putting yourself out there like, oh, I'm so single, I'm missing my brother, he doesn't call me, or things like that. And also, I think it also helps us to not talk about the guy's efficiency to your friend.
That's important.
Even if he's not doing as much as you want him to do, let him still be your king, let him be your babe.
Mm.
keep your hurts and your wounds to yourself.
I'm the king and babe at the same time. Anyways,
keep your hurts to yourself. Talk to him about your hurts. Mm. Or let your friends know that you're okay. Otherwise, you start getting counsel from them. And it could mix your head. It could mix your feelings and your emotions. And you react based on what they're saying to you. Mm. Some people say, ah, it's because he has a girlfriend. That's why he hasn't called you to this. Which man won't call you? Think stupid things or those Yoruba movies. Things get into your head, but because you're confident in who you are with,
yeah,
it makes it easier. Absolutely. I think the confidence actually matters, apart from the communication or getting busy. If from the start you don't trust your
each
man,
yeah,
you call him and ask him, where are you now? Are you there? Those kind of communication shows you're not trusting and could lead the man to find a trusting person. Say, for example, if you're always having a nervous breakdown when he says, oh, there's a girl in my class that I'm going to read with, and you're like, I don't like her. Every girl in his life you don't like. That shows you don't have it. You're standing with him, he's not really sure. So you have to show that you trust them. Then, because of the trust you have in them, they will show you their vulnerability. Say, if there's a girl coming and they think, this girl is a bit too close, and I think I'm getting too attached to her, they will tell you.
Sure.
But when they know that you don't trust them enough, telling you is no option because they're just saying, ha, this one will kill her. So, no, don't know telling. I just think
that's a whole lot of understanding. Hopefully this helps you. If it does, feel free to share it with someone in your world that might also find this helpful.
Yeah, that's today's episode. Thank you very much. I hope you found it helpful. To put it in a nutshell, because of course, managing long-distance relationship is not an exclusive challenge to a premarital relationship context. There are people that are married and for different reasons could also go through a long-distance season. But we believe, or what we are saying, is that there is no distance that is unbridgeable. With trust, with clear communication between both parties, and with creativity, there is no relationship distance that is unbridgeable. And it is our prayer that you will all flourish in your respective relationships. Till next week, when we meet together again for another episode of Not Alone Today podcast, we want to say thank you for always listening, for always tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you. Till then, remember, you're not alone today. God bless you.